Hey, Ohana, welcome to this week's episode of the Married to a Disney Addict podcast. We are your hosts, Matt
and Crystal,
and this is show number 23. We want to welcome you back to part two of our exploration of the Mexico Pavilion in Epcot. Last week, we jumped into a lot of what the pavilion has to offer outside of the temple, as well as venturing inside to the what we called lobby area and the plaza marketplace outside. But we left off about to jump on to one of our favorite rides, the Three Caballeros. So sit back and relax and enjoy the rest of our journey through Mexico.
So, Chris, tell us about Three Caballeros.
So this is no joke one of my favorite attractions in Epcot. It's one that, for those of you that have never ridden it, first of all, you should. And it's just, it's a nice relaxing boat ride through various scenes of Mexico, showing off culture and landscapes and art and all sorts of different things. But the fun thing is the overall story that they've added, where you've got Donald Duck, Jose Carioca, and Panchito, who are the Three Caballeros, preparing to perform a concert in Mexico City. But Donald, being Donald, has decided that he's going to go sightseeing because he's got time. So he goes off on his own, and Jose and Panchito spend the entire ride looking for him. And so the way that this is done beautifully is you've got, you know, Donald shows up in a show scene, and then there's nothing. And then Jose and Panchito show up in the same show scene on a little bit of a delay. So you've got this real nice through fare that kind of propels you as a reason why you're touring Mexico, as if you needed one.
It kind of goes back to, I think, as well, the point that Sue brought up. When you have kids, right, it gives them something to connect with. They know, they definitely know Donald, right? They may know the Three Caballeros if you grew up with Disney parents like all of us, and we've probably shown our kids the Three Caballeros from, what, 1944 or something like that, the first one comes out. So he can attach to them, right? He can relate to it. He knows what's going on, and he's hopefully picking up some of that cultural stuff along the way as well. I absolutely love the ride as well for multiple reasons, right? One, like you both mentioned, you and Crystal, it's like a relaxing ride. It's one you just get to sit there and enjoy. It's in a wonderful location because I love how you start off and you actually go through that marketplace and you're by the temple pyramid and you're by the volcano and the night sky. We'll talk about the restaurant. You kind of go by the people who are eating and you can wave to them or whatever. And it's just nice and calm. It gives you a very cool tour, right, of some of these different locations in Mexico. But then you do get, you get one of the Fab Five. You get a storyline and a movie with the Three Caballeros that I think is popular but overlooked. So it's cool to have them. But my favorite part of it is the fireworks at the end. Those LED fireworks in the ceiling, how they put all that in there. I love it.
Anytime Disney simulates fireworks, that's an automatic win in my book.
Sue, what about you? Do you like the ride? Is it one that you go on a lot? Or is it just like a, it's kind of there, so I'm going to hop on it?
I go on it. I literally have to say, I think I go on it almost every time I'm there. This is so funny. There's, at the end, where is it? One of the little things, you turn around. I always go on that ride searching for the hidden Mickeys. Thinking that there have more hidden Mickeys on that ride that I'm just not seeing, and it totally frustrates me. I think it's a peaceful ride, and it's fun. I love Donald. Well, not my favorite character, but he's at least number two. Maybe not number one, but I love Donald. I think it's a fun ride. The kids love it. The music's great. It's you're dancing while you're in your little boat going around. So definitely on the always ride list when I go to Disney.
I love the music. I love the song. I love the song.
I always try and mention that it's more of a sensory friendly. It's a calming environment. So if you're looking to get your kids out of the chaos that could be the World Showcase, it's a good place to just take a minute and unwind.
And then do we want a fun fact about the ride?
I love your fun facts.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So at the end of the ride, right, we have the three, the majority of the ride is screens, right, where you see the three Caballeros. They're all on a screen. But at the very end, we finally get to see the concert, right, that they're trying to get Donald to go to. And it is not a screen. It is three audio animatronics of Donald and Jose and Panchito. And they're up and they're singing and they're moving around. So those animatronics have been around for a very long time, but they did not come to this attraction until 2015. So they've only been here for less than 10 years. They've been on this ride because they were part of the Mickey Mouse Review in Magic Kingdom from 1971 to like 1980. And then they actually went around the world to Tokyo Disneyland, where they spent 25 years or 26 years.
They are seriously world travelers.
They are. And then they came back. They were actually here for part of D23's Destination D back in like 2011. And then after that, they're like, well, they're here. So now we can put them into this attraction where they are currently. I just like how they move all around. And I love how Disney just is like, well, we can use these in different ways. We're not going to get rid of them.
It's recycling at its finest.
It's funny when you say that, because I remember when they did that shift of the things, they didn't close the ride. They just took the characters out one day and people went, I just remember the internet, I think Facebook was the one at the time, people went nuts.
Yep.
Wondering what happened to the characters on the ride. I remember the day it blew up and it was just so funny.
No, you're telling me that Disney made a change and Disney fans overreacted?
No, I'm just concerned.
So I think it actually happened again, maybe a little bit more recently too. I think it was just the Donald animatronic needed some work, and then instantly, right? Some people are like, okay, it needs some work. Like they're probably just fixing the animatronic. Level-headed thinking people. Then you do have some of those Disney fans that may overreact like Chris, and they said, this is it. They're taking it down. Coco's coming in. They're replacing everything. It's not the way it should be. And then all of a sudden, Donald came back and all was right with the world. But that does lead to an interesting question, which I think we're going to save for another episode. But there are the rumors that the ride, the pavilion, could change a little bit more to bring even more Coco in, which I'm not saying is good or bad. I'm just saying it's a rumor. It's something we may talk about on another episode.
Yeah, because we could be here all day. Talking about that.
Yep.
All right, so we have got on our attraction, right? One of the only attractions in the pavilions of World Showcase. We got off, and now I guess we're going to make our way over to La Cava and get a drink.
Because you totally bypassed the restaurant that was in there.
We're going to do the restaurant last.
Okay.
Because I was going to do that, but I gave them the option if they want to go left or right. We went left first, so now
we're All right.
And then we'll go to the restaurant.
Uh-huh. Matt's just crisscrossing us across the pavilion.
We're going right.
We're going right to La Cava de Tequila. And I think this has become probably one of the most, if not the most popular spot in the pavilion. Not for me. I'm not a big drinker, right? I would much rather go on the attraction or something like that or walk around the marketplace. But like Sue mentioned, a lot of adults do love to come to World Showcase to enjoy the beverages of the world. And La Cava de Tequila has definitely become one of the spots that they like to go to. And if you've walked in there, that line is crazy. It's a small spot to begin with, but that line could go outside. It could leave the pavilion sometimes for people trying to get in.
And it's not just a favorite location of many regular guests. There are some pretty popular people who like to venture there, like Neil Patrick Harris, which is why I like to go there, because I like to go try and sit at his table.
So what did they do? Did they put a little plaque, or did he carve his name into it or something? Like,
how I think it's a little plaque and it just has like an NPH on it.
Funny.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, no, and you know, you can always, it's a walk up. There's no reservations for it. So it's a walk up, you wait in line, and they do turn over the tables pretty quick in there. I mean, it's very rare that somebody's going to go in there and spend more than 20, 25 minutes. I mean, they turn out the margaritas really quick.
Sue, do you know, does it have a time limit? Like how Oga's has a 45-minute time limit? Do they or no?
I don't know that it has a set time limit.
Okay.
But it just moves pretty quick. The waiters and waitresses in there really, they're very quick about the process. I mean, as soon as you come in, usually within a minute, you know, you've got the menu, they're there to order your drinks come out really quick, and once you're towards the end of your drinks, your bill's on your table, and you know, they do. And I think a lot of the guests respect the fact that other people want to get in there. So it's not a place that you go there and hang out for an hour and a half with friends, unless you're constantly drinking. I mean, they're not going to kick you out, but there's so much more to do. But, you know, one of the things that they do have there that you can book is they have something called the La Cava Experience. And that's the only bookable thing there. And it involves a tequila ambassador that you do all of the history about how tequila comes and the different varieties. So if you really want to get in, you can book a La Cava Experience. And that is something that can be booked on your My Disney Experience.
So I looked at that as we were getting ready for this, and we've never done it. Again, not a big drinker, especially not a big tequila drinker. But it's $180 per person plus tax. It includes the gratuity in that number. So I'm hoping they're giving you a decent amount of tequila or at least just very, very high quality tequila, which I'm assuming they're doing if it costs that much. But the location, that it's, you know, if you look them up, because they are actually owned by like a separate company that runs the location, they have over 200 varieties of tequila for you to choose from in this one spot. So like while you have those other locations in the pavilion where you can get a margarita, you're not really going to those spots for like premier tequila to try these different things. That's going to be your standard tequila in a margarita where you're just walking around the showcase and you want something cold and you're good to go. If you want a really good margarita or you want to sip tequila, this is where you go because you have those options. And right, correct me if I'm right, Sue, and everybody else, when you go in, you don't have to sit down at a table, right? They have the bar where you can order it and just walk out. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Right. So that might help with the turnover as well, because not everybody's sitting down at a table. Do they serve food? Like, do they put chips on the table if you're at the table?
They do have chips. They do have chips that you can get, chips and salsa. They have avocado that you can get. They've got small plates if they're going to have anything.
Right. They're not going to give... It's not even comparable to, like, the stand outside where you only have three, because they don't want you to have, like, a bigger meal to keep you there. Right? They want you to kind of drink and go.
Exactly right. They're going to give you the basics, the chips, right, the salsa, something that you snack while you eat, and then you're done.
Chris, are you a partaker of La Cava? Do you enjoy going there?
In general, I don't drink a lot, so I've never had the opportunity or really the desire to experience La Cava.
Right.
Part of it is, like Chris said, the giant line that reaches out the pyramid most days that I'm there. Historically, we only travel in summer, so peak crowds all the time. And that's just not something that I'm necessarily willing to wait for. But all the more power to those that do decide, hey, I would like to try a top shelf tequila experience. I mean, I'll go for it, but that's definitely not something that I've done.
Yeah, we don't tend to make it a must do for us. Crystal's brother is a huge fan of La Cava.
He's a big margarita drinker in general. That is just his drink of preference. So whenever he is in Epcot, this is one of his first stops. Several stops he tends to frequent here. They might have a table with his initials on it one day, but he prefers the El Diablo, which has jalapeno in it. It's spicy. I've had it once or twice. I prefer the La Cava avocado because it's a little bit milder. But yeah, whenever we go with my parents or my brother, we're stopping here. When it's just the two of us, we're skipping it unless we're bringing a friend.
I prefer the nachos across the walkway.
Margarita, you mentioned the La Cava avocado. That's the only place you can get it. is there. I don't think you can get it at any of the other locations.
Okay. It's so good.
It's got the name right in it, so it must be their signature drink.
It is. It is.
So you do have that option. Again, that line can be very, very long. If you're really into it, still get in the line, enjoy it, have a good time, drink responsibly. Don't climb the steps of the pyramid after you've visited La Cava. But we do have one more spot inside the main pavilion that we can stop to. You guys have yelled at me for skipping it, but if you just drank, I have to make sure you now eat so that it soaks everything up. And we're going to go to the signature restaurant inside of the pavilion, the San Aniel Inn restaurant, which is inside the main marketplace area. It is under the twilight stars of the pavilion. It is right next to, like I said, the beginning of the little riverboat ride. So really cool. I have never eaten there.
I have.
You have.
I have. Have either of you eaten there before?
Oh, yeah. I've eaten there a couple of times.
I have not, no.
So, Sue, you've eaten there a few times. Is it like a spot where we should, like people should go try? Or is it just like more of the, is it for the food or is it for the environment? You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of restaurants you're kind of picking and choosing, or is it just overall?
You know what? I think it's a great environment. And Crystal kind of mentioned this, like you need a little sensory download. It's one of the quieter restaurants. It's a little on the dark side, but that fills in with the ambiance. They're trying to do it as an evening out in Mexico. So that's how it is. The one thing that I do tell people is remember when you're eating in Mexico, it's authentic Mexican. So
not Tex-Mex.
You have to make sure you set those right expectations with yourself. What we think of Mexico, Taco Bell, and the
that's like saying Italian is like Olive Garden.
The way we do, you know, in Mexican restaurants in the U.S. is a little bit different than
it's very different
authentic Mexican food. So as long as you understand that and that it's not going to be necessarily the same, Taco's different, you know?
I can't get a cheesy gordita wrap there.
But you know, it's going to be a different experience. But I do think it's one of those places that it's not so far out the box that I did remember that their food is, it is enjoyable. I mean, it was good food.
So I remember my parents enjoying it. I didn't mention this. The last time I went there, I was a kid. I was probably about 15. So I'm a picky eater at the time, you know, only liking my certain things. At the time, it was cheeseburgers and Caesar salads that I was eating. So I really wasn't being adventurous. So I remember me personally not liking it and actually complaining that it was dark, but I remember my parents enjoying it. And I think to Sue's point, it's authentic. So if you're going to be taking a picky eater there, not a good choice for you. If you have a more adventurous eater, it is a perfect location.
So Chris, this actually you might like because we mentioned earlier how the one thing you think that might make the entire pavilion even more authentic is if a church was included inside the pavilion. So the restaurant is modeled after a famous Mexico City restaurant of the same name. It's actually a sister restaurant, so the parent company owns both of them. The namesake restaurant is actually located in an old renovated Carmelite monastery in Mexico City's historic neighborhood. So there's a little close connection. It's still not a church, but there you go. There's a little close something enough there for you.
There's the hint.
So yeah, that's your sit down location. That's the last spot to really grab food in the pavilion. But there are lots of options in this pavilion for food, which is the fact that they have two sit down restaurants is pretty
cool. And a quick service.
And
it technically two quick services if you really think about it, because if you count right
well, even the other one outside, there's two quick service technically outside where you can get the margaritas, right? Choza, and then like you said, La Cava, if you grab some. There's a lot of food options in the Mexico pavilion, but that interior one, the San Aniel Inn, that's probably the premier one that people always think of when they want to go eat in the Mexico
absolutely
Pavilion.
Before we move on, Matt, I've just got one thing that I need to point out about Sun on Hell. And that's, if you are a true Disney fan and you walk in and the first thing you don't think of is Blue Bayou from Disneyland, then you're doing something wrong. Because
so we've never been to
Disneyland.
We've never been
to Disneyland. Oh, that's right. I'm so sorry.
We're hoping we're actually that this summer.
Last summer, we ate at Blue Bayou for the first time.
Very soon.
Yes, yeah, yeah. So, well, a little bit, what makes it similar to Blue Bayou? Is it this idea of like you're eating outside, but you're inside? Like that?
A lot of it, and bear with me as I go off on this tangent, is the Mexico Pavilion is very much like the entirety of Pirates of the Caribbean at Disneyland, where you have to go over or under in the, or in Disneyland, you have to go under the railroad to get to the show building for Pirates. In Mexico, you go over the show building for Los Caballeros. Then you go to the premier sit-down restaurant, which sits on the bank of a water-based attraction. In this case, Three Caballeros versus Pirates of the Caribbean, every seat is waterfront in this twilight dining experience. And while the food is good, it's so much more about just the ambiance and being in this area than anything else, really. Now, I haven't eaten at Sun on Hell, so I can't comment on that. But, like, everything about it is just screams Blue Bayou to me. It's the Blue Bayou of the East Coast.
But, and I mean, just to give a little more background on that, whereas this is like you're actually in Mexico overlooking the rivers of Mexico, Blue Bayou is actually based off of Louisiana and the bayous. And if you look to your right, when you're sitting outside under all the lights there, there's a plantation home. So you're in like a backyard party of the plantation home.
Cough, Haunted Mansion, cough. I'm sorry, what? But you guys will get to experience that when you go to Disneyland this summer.
Yeah. We'll have to check it out. All right, so that's the inside of the pavilion with a little side road trip to Disneyland. I like it. But we're going to now exit the main show building. We're going to turn left and kind of head out of the Mexico Pavilion. But there are two or three more things, little surprises, I think, that the pavilion has to offer you before you do leave. So one, which I think is the smallest one that I'll throw out there, is, again, right across the way. There's a little tiny kiosk shop thing called Ring Carvers. Where if you're looking for a kind of cool souvenir that's different.
Personalized
mm-hmm. souvenir, you can go to Ring Carvers. It's right next to La Hacienda, the restaurant. And they specialize in personalized silver rings. You can go and give you initials, or you could like write something short like that or whatever on it. And you could actually sit there and watch the worker carve it into the ring while you wait, which is kind of cool. So if you're looking for something different, something that might, you know, as a souvenir, a memento of the Mexico Pavilion, you could stop at Ring Carvers. But there are, I think, two more things that a lot of people are more interested in.
Sue was clapping, so I want to see what excites her about outside.
I know what it is, what she had mentioned kind of earlier. But yes, yeah, mm-hmm. What else?
I love the Donald Duck meet and greet. I think it's probably one of the best meet and greets in World Showcase. He's out there and he's in his sombrero and he's got his Donald attitude, and they've got a great backdrop for pictures. They usually will have a photo pass photographer out there so you can take a great family picture. But it's one of my favorite photo stops to see. You know, it's not a rushed one. I have on the rare occurrence, I haven't personally seen it, but I have on the rare occurrence heard that every once in a while you will find the Three Caballeros out there.
Really?
Yes, that's a rare,
very, rare, very rare occurrence.
I've seen of them myself.
So Jose and Panchito would join Donald to meet some of the guests.
Correct. That's my favorite. I really like that meet and greet there.
Now, in that location, that's over towards the right side of the pyramid. That's also, is it during Flower and Garden where they have the orchid?
Yeah, the orchid garden.
So I know that's like one of your favorite spots when they have.
Talked about it last week on our Flower and Garden episode. I love when this area is covered in orchids. It's, again,
covered
like a jungle of orchids. And again, I like to touch upon the sensory stuff. This is a good relaxing area where you can just, you know, take in the flowers and relax. And even if Donald Duck isn't out at that area, because sometimes, you know, he's not out for pictures, it's a good area for pictures because that backdrop is a good spot for a family photo that you take a selfie or ask, you know, a fellow guest to take your picture. I like it in there. It's nice and calming.
Chris, have you ever done the Donald Duck meet and greet?
I have not. When we were in Mexico last, he was not available for reasons.
It's one of the more scheduled ones, I think, right, Sue, where they will put times up when he will be out there. It's not just like a random, the three caballeros would be random. But the Donald one is more of a scheduled meet and greet.
Yeah, they'll do it. They'll put it in the My Disney Experience account.
Right.
However, if you see a cast member, you can always ask if that's a real one that you want to see. You can always ask a cast member what time he'll be out next. They do have schedules, so they know when his regularly scheduled times are going to be.
All right, so I think we only have one more stop before we end our little tour of the Mexico Pavilion. And I think it's one of the most fun, and it draws a crowd every time it happens to be out while we're walking by.
And it's a good thing to end Mexico with.
Yeah.
Because it's a real celebration.
It is. It is. So if you have not been, you don't know what we're talking about. Mexico is one of the pavilions, like many of the other ones, that offers some live entertainment. And there is a small little... It's not really a stage, but it's like a little covered area. Literally, it's like the last thing as you walk out of the pavilion. It's right to the right by the water. It's kind of on the side of that ring carver's location that I had mentioned. And it is where you will find some live music. There are actually two different performances that take place there. But the big one, the famous one that everybody kind of knows about, that's been there, I think, for almost 40 years, is Mariachi Cobre. Did I say it right, Chris?
Mariachi Cobre.
Cobre.
Yes, absolutely. As a trumpet player, this is absolutely one of those things that I try to schedule my stop around. One of the great things about World Showcase is you can hear them from a pavilion or two over. So if you hear that, when you hear that mariachi music start, you just start making your way over with everyone else. And it's just, it's such an amazing show.
Yeah.
To witness and be part of, really.
It's a lot of fun too, because it's not, like I said, it's not really like up on a stage, or they really feel like they're just like right there with you. Like people will crowd up right against them. Sometimes they walk out and they're amongst the crowd. So, and people are dancing and having fun, and it's a really, really cool atmosphere, I think.
Absolutely. That's exactly what you would see from a mariachi band in the plaza. Is that they wouldn't be up on the stage. They'd just be out amongst the people, having them join, basically joining in this music making experience.
Mm-hmm. Now, Sue,
yeah.
do they still do the Coco inspired show with them? I know at one point, so it was back in like 2019 when it started, and they had like these beautiful, like this Miguel puppet thing, and the mariachi Cobre would be playing music, and then these people would come out and they would dance. And then I think they switched it to not every performance as time went on. They would do it once in a while, and then other times it was just the traditional performance. I don't know if they still do it, but it was really cool when they did it.
Yeah, I don't think that they do anymore. If so, it's something that's done rarely, because I haven't seen it or heard about it in quite a while. I mean, that was back, I guess, like what, 2019 or so.
Yeah, yeah.
That they did that. I don't think they do it anymore.
Okay. Maybe a COVID casualty. Maybe they did it for the 2 years and then they didn't bring it back after the pandemic.
Yeah, I do believe probably that is the case.
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was another one of those opportunities for kids to be like, oh my God, like, look how cool this is. And Miguel's here. We can listen to, you know, the mariachi type music. So hopefully they bring something like that back. But the band itself, even without the puppets and without Coco, is, like Chris said, it's so much fun. It's so engaging. Everybody's like dancing around. We always stop every time we go by. If they're there and they're playing, it's an immediate, it's like a wall. It just stops you and it makes you want to sit there and watch it, at least for a little bit. I think they do like 25 minute sets, but you have to stay for a few minutes and just enjoy it because it is a lot of fun. And they do have another performance, Marimba de las Americas, where it is, I think, a little bit more, it's not just mariachi style music. It's a little bit more arrangements of songs from all across Latin America. They do that select days of the week at select times. It is not as frequent as Mariachi Cobre. So that one is probably another one where, like Sue said, you might ask a cast member or check on the schedule to see if they are going to be there. But it is more of a select performance. But I really, really liked it that, like Crystal said, that's how you kind of end your tour of Mexico, is with this music and with this celebration and with being around a bunch of people and having fun before you're off to the cold, cold, cold landscape of Norway.
It is an interesting transition.
It is. Hot to cold. So that's our little tour of the Mexico Pavilion. Before we wrap everything up, what's just your overall opinion of the pavilion, and is it your favorite or not? Sue, let's start with you. What's your overall opinion of the pavilion?
I think the pavilion's wonderful. I think they did a very good, I think it's probably one of the best pavilions. I think I'd have to give a little thought as to whether it's my favorite. It definitely, I will say, will be up in the running.
Okay.
Of what would be my favorite, but I might have to go through and think about
each
one before
Like we said, Sue, Crystal and I are not attempting to rank these things at all at this point. But we're asking though, because for some people, they know immediately. They're like, this is it. This is my favorite pavilion. So that's why, you know, that's why we're asking. But yeah, yeah. It is difficult to pick, I think, out of them all, because they're all done.
I'll be honest, and I'll ruin it from the beginning. I don't know that I have a favorite pavilion.
Oh.
I just know that I have some that I'm more partial to spend time in than others.
And Mexico is one of them.
Definitely, Mexico is one of them.
What about you, Chris? Is this the one that stands out? Like, this is my favorite, or is it kind of the same?
Yeah, it definitely stands out. Before we do that, I do have one more comment about something inside the pavilion, and we kind of touched on this briefly, but I wanted to expand a little more on the Kidcot stops.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because well, there's two parts to the Kidcot, right? So there's the craft activity, which I think Crystal said was mask coloring. I don't remember what it was, but there's also the other component where you go to the gift shop and you buy like the $15-$20 passport book, and you take it to the international cast members there. And you get it stamped and they write a little message, and it's, you know, it's just another really cool way to get the kids engaged with the local culture. That was what started my daughter's fascination with Epcot. So spoiler alert, we're going back this summer after a super quick last minute Halloween party trip in October. We decided that we were going to go back in June and do Disney World proper. And the only thing she's been asking is, when can we go back and stop at all the countries? Because she wants to get her passport book stamped. And she also wants to see Figment again. So I thought I would share that with you, Crystal.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
But I think that's something to kind of throw out there for the idea of the Epcot is not an adults park. It is a family park. You sometimes have to go out of your way a little bit. It's not on the outside, like you say. You have to go inside the pavilion to get there. But there are absolutely really cool ways to get your kids involved. And sometimes it's something as simple as getting a book stamped.
You don't have to just only buy the passport too, though. You get the Ziploc bag, and it has like an index card with a sticker.
Oh, right.
And there's a coloring, so there is other options.
We did purchase the passport,
and that's a really cool.
It's a fun upgrade, kind of.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, all that to say, I'm going to say hands down, Mexico is my favorite pavilion in Epcot. It's exceptionally well done. As someone of Hispanic and Mexican descent, I love seeing that culture brought to life in such a vibrant and, you know, realistic way, to be honest. It's absolutely my number one pavilion.
That's great to hear, too, coming from someone from the background that can say, yes, it represents it well. It is something that you are proud of being representative of that area and the country and the culture. So that makes me happy to hear that. I think Disney does very well with Epcot. I think they really, really went to great lengths trying to make sure that these countries, all of the countries that are represented, do a good job of presenting what the cultures and the people and what the country stands for and looks like and everything like that. But before we move on to the last part of the show, there is one fun fact that I wanted to share about the Mexico Pavilion, just because my lovely wife loves him so much.
Love him.
But the famous Imagineer, Joe Rode, we all know, you know, the creator of Animal Kingdom and things like that. He actually got his start with Disney Imagineering back in 1980, working on the development of Epcot as a model designer and scenic painter for the Mexico Pavilion. So this was one of the first things that Joe Rode got his hands on with Disney Imagineering. So we thought that was kind of cool and should mention that for Crystal.
That is super cool. That is super cool.
I've got one more fact, Matt.
Yeah, go.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not sure you might know this, but because of the location of the tower and the fact that it is, in fact, the largest building on World Showcase, the control room for Illuminations, and I assume all fireworks subsequently, is located at the top of the Mexican Pavilion. So while we guests are not allowed to climb up the steps and stairs to get to the top, there are cast member only steps that will take you to the top. And that is the control room for the fireworks show that occurs on the lagoon.
And again, those should be the only steps that are used to get to the top of the temple.
With permission. Written permission.
Yes.
That's funny.
All right. So that is our walkthrough of the Mexico Pavilion. Over on our socials, we're definitely going to be asking the question, do you go left or right? And we want to hear what you think about the Mexico Pavilion as well. Is it your favorite? What do you like about it? But before we wrap up the episode, Chris, welcome to the show for the first time. And like we do with everyone who comes on for their first visit with us, hopefully not the last. We like to put you through, I guess, what we're calling now officially the lightning lane. I used to call it lightning lane by accident, but we're sticking with it. It is free of charge, Chris, so do not worry.
Hey.
We're not going to charge you for the lightning lane. But it's just a way for the rest of the Ohana to get to kind of know you a little bit. There's no gotchas. Well, it might be a little.
They are gotchas.
They're not trivia. It's more like, what's your favorite?
They're definitely gotchas. They're definitely gotchas.
These are
Sue's traumatized.
These are more just one of your favorites, right? So we get to know you a little bit more as a Disney fan. I always let Crystal take this part over because she loves it. So take it away.
What's your favorite park?
Disneyland Park in California.
Ooh.
I am a West Coast kind of guy. I mean, I'm in the Southwest, but it's always been easier for us to get to Disneyland than it is to Florida. So I'm
we've never had a Disneyland answer yet. So I love it. At Disney World, what's your favorite park?
Simple answer, but it's Magic Kingdom. It's just the classic. It's the first one.
Do you have a favorite resort?
I do not.
Okay.
We very rarely stay on property. Although I have to admit, we did stay. We were lucky enough to go for the 50th, and we were able to stay at the Contemporary. So I've been ruined for all future trips.
Yeah, no, sorry.
There's just no
that walk from Contemporary to Magic Kingdom makes it tough to beat.
Yeah, that was my birthday and the 50th. It was a once in a lifetime. I'm hoping not, but like it's never gonna happen again. Like,
that's awesome.
Hopefully, you get to stay on property again because there's a lot of wonderful resorts. What's your favorite ride?
Big Thunder Mountain Railroad.
Disneyland or Disney World version?
Are they the same? Oh, they're different.
They are different. I am partial to the Disneyland version because they reimagined it relatively recently. And there's a bunch of really cool projection effects that they added in that just elevate that attraction experience.
Sue is agreeing with you. She is nodding furiously that yes, it is the Disneyland version.
Do you have a favorite character?
Goofy.
Oh, nice. Another classic. I'm going to ask real quick because last time Crystal stole this from me. And it's the question I always ask. Do you have a favorite restaurant?
I would have to think about that one.
Yeah, it's always the tough one. I love asking it.
So, like I said, we rarely go. We're much more of a quick service type travel place. So with that in mind, I'm just going to have to throw out a simple Casey's Corner and
nothing wrong with quick service and nothing wrong with Casey's Corner. Again, a hot dog on Main Street is one of my favorite things to do.
You do. You look forward to that.
I do.
You talk about it a lot.
It is. It's funny. So we always plan like our restaurants, like, okay, we're going to do this and this. And you do this 60 days out. The thing that I'm always like, I got to make sure I do it. Casey's Corner and get a hot dog.
Whether it's our first stop or our last stop, it always has to happen.
All right. So I think that's going to be it, Chris. We're not going to keep drilling you, but thank you.
Thank you.
Both of you so much for coming on and talking about the Mexico Pavilion with us. And we had a great time.
I did too. Thank you. That was fun.
Yeah. Thanks for the invite. I had a blast today.
Well, Ohana, that's it for today's episode. We want to thank our guests, Sue and Chris, for joining us today to explore Epcot's Mexico Pavilion. We also want to thank all of you for tuning in. Be sure to hit that follow button to stay up to date on our latest episodes as they come out. And we also want to invite you to the podcast to share your Disney story. Feel free to reach out to us either through our website, marriedtoadisneyaddict.com, or over on our socials on Facebook and Instagram to become a part of the Ohana. Thanks again for joining us this week. And as always, see you real soon.
Caballeros, Ricky Caballeros, they say we are birds of a feather. We're happy amigos, no matter where he goes, the one, two, and three goes, we're always together. Oh, we have the stars to guide us, guitars here beside us. Play as we go. We sing and we samba. We shout.
What means I caramba?
Oh, yes. I don't know.